It's Tuesday, November 10th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast coming to you today from beautiful Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's my first time down here in the land of enchantment, and I'm really enjoying it, especially the warm temperatures. So much nicer than the 50 degrees and gray and wet that we get in the Pacific Northwest for the next 6 months. I'm here on the invitation of the Drug Policy Alliance and their director, Ethan Nadelman, who saw my presentation on marijuana prohibition at the National Normal Conference this September in San Francisco, California. He's invited me to give that same presentation to the members of his staff at the Drug Policy Alliance on Wednesday on their private staff-only meeting that they're having. Then he's also comped my registration at the Drug Policy Alliance's International Drug Policy Reform Conference, taking place Thursday through Saturday in Albuquerque. On Friday, I'll be moderating a roundtable discussion on marijuana's cultural moment. This also features Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre. So anybody down here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who'd like to meet up, send me an email at stash@normal.org. I'd love to talk with you. Coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we begin with your cannabis community calendar, and then that's followed up by your hemp headlines, including a look at Latin American countries no longer fearing the United States when it comes to setting drug policy. We have an amazing story from Mississippi of a man who was fined $1,100 for a stem. And CBS News continues their look at marijuana with a debate between retired Judge Jim Gray on our side and, for the prohibitionists, David Evans from the Drug Free America Foundation. For our Daily Toker Tunes today, we bring you Electric Tuesday and a great song by Wallpaper called I Got Soul, I'm So Wasted. And in its regularly scheduled time, we bring you the California Marijuana Report by Eric Brenner. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Something fat and long, pack me a bowl or fill me a bong. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
It's time for your cannabis community calendar, available online at normal.org/calendar. To get your events added to the calendar, send me an email with the subject calendar request to stash@normal.org. Tomorrow, November 11th, is Veterans Day, and we salute all those who have served for this country. Ohio Normal is having their open meeting using the PalTalk application. Check out ohionormal.org for more details. On Thursday, November 12th, Normal of Waco is having a meeting at Papa Rolo's Pizza in Waco, Texas. And members of Miami Valley Normal near Dayton, Ohio, will be joining together at Borders to play the card game Weed. Check out their website for more information. Friday, November 13th marks the grand opening of Oregon Normal's Cannabis Cafe in Portland, Oregon. Check out ornorml.org for more details. And Oregon Normal will be holding their cardholders meeting on Saturday, November 14th at the Village Ballroom, 700 Northeast Deakin in Portland, Oregon, as well as their quarterly public meeting at the Pizza Parlor just down the road. For more information, call Oregon Normal at 503-239-6110. Also on Saturday, Normal of Waco is having their monthly members meeting at Smoke and Rays on Lakeshore Drive. For more information, including contacts, websites, maps, times, and dates for all of these events, just visit our calendar at normal.org/calendar. It's a Normal shout-out. Our shout-out today goes to the state of Mississippi. I've received an email from a listener in Mississippi, which we'll be revealing in the hemp headlines, and it further points out the need for more marijuana reformers in the Deep South. I know it's a tough place to come out of the closet, but if you're willing to stand up and help end adult marijuana prohibition, send me an email at stash@normal.org, and I'll put you in touch with other folks from Mississippi who are interested in doing the same thing.
Well, I smoked some marijuana with some people I like, just like everybody does from the East Coast to the West. I didn't even notice the cop on the bike. Didn't know I was about to be the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Should have fought for marijuana law reform. Should have gone to the web and typed in Norm. Norm to the L.org. Normal drop the A.org, baby.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Latin American countries no longer fear United States in setting drug policy. From World Politics Review. For roughly four decades, a clear foreign policy rule set has existed between the United States and Latin America, centering largely on the question of counter-narcotics. Starting with Richard Nixon's war on drugs, an explicit quid pro quo came into existence. U.S. foreign aid, both civilian and military, in exchange for aggressive Latin American efforts to curb both the production and trafficking of illegal narcotics, primarily marijuana and cocaine. By virtually all accounts, that logistics-focused strategy has proven to be a massive failure. America's focus on interdiction and prohibition has not stemmed domestic drug abuse. Instead, all indications are that preventative education, on a generational scale, has proven far more effective, meaning that demand reduction has trumped supply curtailment as a means of reducing overall prevalence. Meanwhile, across Latin America, there's been widespread movement toward decriminalization. Why? Because the benefits of remaining on America's good side on this hot-button issue have been overwhelmed by the negative externalities of overcrowded prisons, rampant drug-related violence, police corruption, and growing organized criminal networks. The author points to four main reasons why countries like Argentina, Mexico, Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, Paraguay, and Uruguay are decriminalizing personal drug possession. Number one, the rise of a Latin American middle class feeling economic independence from United States aid. Number two, the increase in foreign aid to Latin America from Asia and Latinos sending money back home from the U.S. Number three, the increase of Latin American trade to China and the European Union that decreases American economic influence And number four, the rise of drug cartels, terrorism, and violence that led Latin American countries to directly confront the issue. Mississippi. Young man gets $1,100 fine, 6 months driver's license suspension for cannabis stem. I get the most incredible emails, and by incredible, I mean it strains credibility to believe that this really happens in America. My name is Bob. I'm 23 years old, and I'm from Mississippi. Until this year, I had never been convicted of a crime. I had never even had a speeding ticket. On my way home from work, I was pulled over. I got caught with a stem on my floorboard, which probably wouldn't even register as 0.01 grams on a scale. The officer searched my vehicle four times before he even found it. I was arrested and taken to jail. My vehicle was impounded. I lost my job and eventually my home. I bonded out and received my court date later in the mail. When I went to court, I received an $1,100 fine and my license was suspended for 6 months. The funny thing was, a repeat offender, two cases before me, only received a $600 fine for simple assault. He also received a set number of hours in an anger management class. His charge was for beating his pregnant girlfriend. I have lost faith in America and our leaders. Marijuana is a wonderful herb, and I enjoy the way it makes me feel. Sometimes I suffer with horrible depression, and marijuana makes me feel so much better. I'm a musician as well, and marijuana stimulates my mind in ways that I never could naturally. Anyways, I figured I would share this with you so you could see how bad we have it down here in Mississippi. And once again, I have to point out, if you're sitting around waiting for someone else to legalize marijuana in Mississippi, you'll be having a long wait. It's up to you, Bob, and other people like you who've been affected by this stupid marijuana prohibition to band together and stand up for your rights. We here at Normal can help. Just send me an email at stash@normal.org, and I'll help you put together a Normal chapter in Mississippi to address this outrageous sentence.
Is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
CBS News asks Judge Jim Gray and Drug Free America's David Evans, should pot be legal? We all know Judge Jim Gray is a powerful advocate for ending marijuana prohibition. We all know David Evans is a rabid prohibitionist. Let's just skip to the fun parts and give you the bullet points from David Evans's Reefer Madness.
We cannot legalize marijuana because marijuana is far more powerful today than it was years ago.
Yes, because prohibition forces illegal producers to make the most potent product.
It serves as an entry point for the use of other illegal drugs. This is known as the gateway effect.
There is no gateway effect. The Institute of Medicine debunked that a decade ago, and every serious study since has agreed.
Higher potency marijuana may be contributing to a substantial increase in the number of American teenagers in treatment for marijuana dependence.
No, that's because of drug courts that sentence marijuana users to rehab.
Drug legalization advocates claim that marijuana is less dangerous than drugs like alcohol, cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine. However, studies show that marijuana is not harmless, but that it is toxic and addictive.
Marijuana is notably non-toxic to healthy cells and organs, and is not even as addictive as coffee.
The legalizers claim that as legalized drugs become less expensive, people will no longer need to commit crimes in order to pay for their drug use. The problem with this claim is that some drugs are already inexpensive. marijuana, the most abused and addictive drug for young people, is very inexpensive.
Really? You consider $10 to $15 a gram inexpensive for a young person?
Even supporters of drug legalization admit that low prices would encourage use. A good example of this is crack cocaine. Higher levels of drug use cause increased crime, especially property crime, to pay for the drugs.
Wasn't this a discussion about marijuana? So, then you're saying that people who'd rob somebody for money for that $400 an ounce now will rob more people for that $40 ounce in the future?
Drug users, many of whom are unable to hold jobs, commit robberies and other crimes not only to obtain drugs, but also to purchase food, shelter, clothing, and other goods and services. Even if drugs were legalized, addicts will still need to pay the rent and may resort to crime to do so.
If marijuana is legal, marijuana users can keep their jobs or find new ones without being discriminated against for the metabolites in their urine.
Most violent drug-related crime is committed because people are under the influence of drugs. The use of drugs changes behavior and causes criminal activity because people will do things they wouldn't do if they were rational and free of the drug's influence. Cocaine-related paranoia is an example.
Again with the cocaine. Please, what crimes are being committed by people under the influence of marijuana? Except for noodling too long on a guitar solo or not sharing the bag of Doritos.
If legalizing drugs will increase drug use, then drug driving will also likely increase. Many studies show a clear correlation between drug use and motor vehicle accidents, trauma, and dangerous driving.
If legalizing marijuana causes more people to choose it instead of alcohol, we'll have less dangerous driving.
Pot use among Dutch kids was very low before they decriminalized pot. It was about 5%. It is now approaching U.S. levels, but it is still lower than the U.S. It has risen substantially due to the more relaxed attitude.
Pot use among adults and teens in the Netherlands is half what it is in the U.S.
The comment that increased pot use will not lead to more addiction is preposterous. This argument does not work when we consider that drugs such as cocaine, heroin, and marijuana are dangerous and highly addictive.
Yes, cocaine and heroin are dangerous and highly addictive. Can we please stick to talking about pot?
Prohibition keeps potential drug users from using drugs by virtue of the fear of arrest and the embarrassment of being caught.
Right. All 22 million of us who will smoke this year are terrified. But it's not stopping us from using cannabis.
Prohibition helps drug users and addicts into treatment through the use of laws and drug courts that offer treatment as an alternative to incarceration.
Helps drug rehabs, you mean, by providing them unaddicted people forced into rehab by courts. Over one-third of those attending marijuana rehab haven't even used cannabis in the past 30 days. Now, some other points to notice from Mr. Evans's rants. He insists on calling us legalizers. Now, I call Evans a prohibitionist because he supports continuing the status quo of prohibition. But to say that we support legalization of drugs is not entirely semantically correct. A legalized drug, as Judge Gray points out, would be something like aspirin, a substance that has no restrictions on marketing, age of use, sales, manufacture, and purchase. We don't call for that. We call for sensible regulations on marijuana, not unlike alcohol and tobacco. It would be more accurate to call us regulators. He must always bring drugs into the discussion, cocaine, heroin, and meth, because a discussion of the dangers of marijuana use alone doesn't scare people anymore. And he continues to harp on the negative consequence of drug use while ignoring the demonstrable consequences of drug money, which includes corruption, violence, and terrorism. There will be a part two to this debate on the CBS News website. Check out our links at stash.normal.org.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on the Daily Audio Stash, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Welcome to our new music lineup on the Daily Toker Tunes. Today and every Tuesday is now designated as Electric Tuesday. By electric, I mean today's popular synth-based music. So on Tuesdays, I'll be bringing you the best PodSafe dance, house, electronica, and new age music me and our volunteer music editors can find. Coming up for the rest of your week, you'll hear Irie Wednesday, Groovy Thursday, and Rockin' Friday. If you're a musician or a band that would like your 420-friendly tune played on the Daily Toker Tunes, just send me an email at stash@normal.org. When you're scanning the intertubes for good PodSafe music, a name like Doodoo Face is going to make you take a second look. Doodoo Face is the album from Wallpaper, the alter ego of Eric Frederick, a producer based in Oakland, California. According to reports, Eric was neck-deep in a series of isolated studio all-nighters when the song Doodoo Face pushed him into the beyond. Boxed in by layers of percussive funk, dark synthesizer blurt, and crushing bass, Frederick lost himself inside of Ricky Reed, the character he'd long ago conceived as Wallpaper's frontman. He gave in to Ricky's rampant narcissism, love for party, and supreme indifference, and as a result, discovered the guiding duality behind Doodoo Face, the album. There's sadness inside all that celebration. A little madness, too. Today's tune from the album Doodoo Face is called I Got Soul, I'm So Wasted, and it reminds me of days long ago dancing at the clubs when a drug or two would make me the greatest dancer on the floor, an opinion with which no one outside my wasted mind would agree. This is Wallpaper, and the song is I Got Soul, I'm So Wasted.
You wanna go to a party tonight? It's supposed to be the jam, it's supposed to be really nice. We'll take the bus or a taxi cab. We can get faded, then go to the club. I said, whoa. With a glass of red wine, cheap champagne, it tickles down my spine. I gotta say I'm looking good, I'd hit on myself if I could. I say whoa, 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 I could use another round, so I could really get on down. I got so wasted, I'm in the middle of
St. Pierre, executive director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
Every Tuesday, we bring you a podcast within a podcast dedicated exclusively to the ground zero of marijuana reform in America, California. We turn over the daily audio stash to your Golden State host, Eric Brenner, and the California Marijuana Report.
California Marijuana Report for 11-9-09. I'm Eric Brenner. This week, marijuana arrests skyrocket in California. We hear about a new study just released, and we speak to Sonia Mariah Sanchez, the psychedelic poster artist for Normal. Only on the California Marijuana Report. Our top story this week, marijuana arrests skyrocket in California, and African Americans are being busted for pot-related crimes much more often than whites, a new report says. San Francisco Chronicle reports despite the rise in arrests and seizure of marijuana plants, use of pot in California has actually gone up. One time, Normal Executive Director John Getman headed the nationwide study, released Thursday at the Shenandoah University in Virginia. Quote, "We keep arresting more and more people, but it's not having a deterrent effect," said Getman, an adjunct assistant professor of criminal justice at Shenandoah University. Nationally, Getman said marijuana arrests have doubled since 91, but marijuana use is unchanged. Getman's report came a day after state officials announced that the state federal campaign against marijuana planting had seized a record 4.4 million pot plants in California this year. That's up from 2.9 million in 2008. Getman's study is based on state and FBI arrest records and other government data from 2003 to 2007. It said California officers arrested 61,375 people on marijuana charges in 2003 and 74,024 in 2007. 80% of the arrests in 2007 were for marijuana possession. Interestingly enough, back in October, San Francisco Police Chief George Gascon held a press conference to discuss recent raids on so-called illegal marijuana grow houses. The first question was about stopping grow house fires through legalization, and the chief was forced to admit that when we ended alcohol prohibition, much of the violence and crime went away.
Well, you know, I mean, obviously it's speculation. We can go back to the days of prohibition, you know, when alcohol was prohibited, people found ways to deal with the manufacturing and production of alcohol, and a lot of violence came as a result of that. Alcohol was legalized, some of that went away. It's hard to tell. But again, the point of us getting together today really is not to argue the merits one way or the other about legalization. It's about the danger that our community is facing because of this activity.
Well, the point of us getting together here on the California Marijuana Report, San Francisco Police Chief George Gascon, is to argue the merits of legalization, is to speak out for the legalization of marijuana. And I am asking you, San Francisco Police Chief George Gascon, end the raids on the grow houses in San Francisco. Let people grow marijuana in the privacy of their own homes.
To know a secret just between you and me. I don't know where I'm going next, don't know where I'm gonna be, no. There's another side to this life I've been living. There's another side to this life.
All right, so we are really honored this week to be joined by such an incredible visionary in the marijuana movement. Ladies and gentlemen, fans of the California Marijuana Report, I am honored to welcome Sonia Maria Sanchez of Designs by Sonia. Sonia, you have been the normal poster artist for the past 7 years. Every year you create a new poster for the conference. And there's a real psychedelic undertone in your artwork for Normal. Talk about this psychedelicized vision that you have for the Normal posters, and who is your main influence?
It's a trip. It's just a psychedelic trip that I ride when I do my artwork. And Normal is definitely the place to be when that comes out in me. I'm supporting them completely because of who they are and what they represent and what they do in the world. It just so happens that what I love to do, the psychedelic art, fits really, really well in their arena.
Talk to me about your influences. I mean, clearly we're here in California. There's a lot of psychedelic artists. A lot of these guys and gals from the 60s and 70s, are still doing this today. Is there anyone in particular?
My biggest hero in the art world is Stanley Mouse, who was one of the influences in the 60s for art in general. The Fillmore posters he created were spectacular.
You know, he also created the skull for the Grateful Dead. The Skull and Roses is what they call it.
Skull and Roses, and right. then every type of skeleton after that for the Grateful.
Sonia, talk to me about this year's Normal poster. It was unique in many ways. In particular, it had a picture of President Barack Obama on it. What kind of feel were you looking to bring out?
The Rastafarian kind of look to it. So that's why, and because it has Obama's face prominently in the poster, we thought that was sort of relative to the normal conferences here and relative to what they represent. In years past, yes, it has been different colors, different themes. Last year happened to be Berkeley, and I used the Berkeley Tower from the university. And again, yes, you're right. It was in that purple theme that I really like and thought would work for the normal kind.
We have a picture here of President Obama with some kind of substance in his mouth. I'm assuming this is a joint, Sonia Maria Sanchez. Now, I'm asking you this. How did you come up with this brilliant idea? I mean, this is a brilliant idea, seriously.
Well, we thought that we used the idea that Obama had this experience with marijuana, and we wanted to show that he is in support of the ideas behind them because of his experience. So he has been, in a sense, we have known for a while in that direction. So that's one of the reasons we used that picture.
You are a longtime medical marijuana patient. You just got a terrific write-up in the Eureka Times Standard. It's the largest circulated newspaper in Humboldt County. They gave you a very nice feature on your artwork. And it mentions in here that you have been a longtime medical marijuana patient. Talk to me about why you're using marijuana right now.
The epileptic seizures that I've had and the results of the medication that I've taken to combat that has the food, eating food has been a big factor in it. Being able to stay at a level in my weight that is okay. I have a tendency to
lose weight,
not have an appetite on the medications that I've had to take for the epilepsy.
So you got into a very bad car accident in your early 20s.
Yes.
And as a result, have occasional epileptic seizures.
Yes.
How can people get a hold of you and your company, Designs by Sonia?
Well, they can go on Facebook, again, Designs by Sonia, and leave me messages, look at what I've done, and let me know what I can do for you and what you need.
Sonia Mariah Sanchez, Designs by Sonia, thank you so much for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report.
Please join our group on Facebook. I'm Eric Brenner for the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with the reminder that tomorrow is Veterans Day. If you love your freedom, thank a veteran. And we need to keep lobbying for veterans' access to medical marijuana. The Veterans Administration, being a federal agency, does not recognize legitimacy of medical marijuana even in the 13 states that allow for its use. And we've got to remember, California is still the only state that allows medical marijuana for post-traumatic stress disorder. We've got to get that changed in the other medical marijuana states to bring this effective, non-toxic herbal remedy to the veterans who suffered the combat stress that helped to keep America free. Also, tomorrow will be our cannabis science segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, so stay tuned for that. If you've got questions for Dr. Mitch, send them in to 420research@gmail.com. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.